We greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior. It's a blessing again to be here. I feel like I'm more complete than I was before. My wife is here. My mother is here. My brother and his wife is here. And my wife's niece and her husband are here. So it feels good. So we're glad for your presence. We're glad that you have come out. And I realize that this is Saturday evening, and I'm going to try not to keep you too long this evening. But I'm just blessed again with God's word and his truth and the way he ministers to our hearts. I invite your attention to Psalm 1. I'm going to read the entirety of this psalm. There's 6 verses here. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now, taking our focus to verse 3, here it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." He shall be like a tree. When Jesus healed the blind man in Bethsaida and his eyes were open, he said, "I see men as trees walking." In Isaiah 61 and verse 3, it says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness, that they might be called trees of righteousness." The title of my message this evening is Trees for God. I think it is in Ezekiel, or maybe it's Song of Solomon, one of those, it says that as the tree falleth, so shall it be. I believe this evening that it's important that we are trees of righteousness, that we are, as it says here in verse 3, like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Verse 4, it says, "The ungodly are not so, but they're like chaff which the wind driveth away." Jeremiah 17 and verse 8, it says, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth over her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." What kind of a tree do you want to be? What kind of trees are we? Jesus also spoke in many parables. He taught in parables. And he likened men to trees. And he said, in fact, you can know a person and his heart by his fruit. What does that reference to? We must be some kind of a tree. We must be some kind of a fruit-bearing person. So we are likened to trees. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 15. Here it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. We shall be like the palm tree. Well, what's the palm tree like? It says that the righteous shall be like the palm tree. I looked in through the scriptures and I found approximately 30 different trees that are found in the Bible. Some of these are, there were many different uses of these trees. Some of these were used in building of the temple, the building of the tabernacle, and in many, many uses that trees had. Here it says that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree. I wonder what you think of when you think of a palm tree. How many of you know what a palm tree looks like? Most of us, at least, we have a little bit of an idea maybe what a palm tree looks like. Those of us who have been in third world countries, especially the warm climate countries, we probably know what a palm tree looks like. The palm tree is known for its uprightness and beauty and victory. In the New Testament, when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, they were waving palm branches. It was a sign of victory. It was a sign of grace and of power and of kingship is what it really was. It was to give that kind of an impression. They would spread palm leaves in front of him as he was going. The palm tree is known for its uprightness and beauty and victory. The palm tree frequently attains a height of 80 feet, but more commonly 40 or 50 feet high. It begins to bear fruit after it has been planted 6 to 8 years and continues to be productive for a century. Its trunk is straight, tall, and unbroken. Towards the top, as it grows, there are great big elephant ear type of leaves that spread out. And the fruit that it grows is in the top, just as high in the branch toward heaven and as far away from the earth as it can go. These leaves spread out and make a very broad and wide shelter. One tree by itself doesn't bring a lot of shade, but when there's many of them together, it's an oasis. The tree is a very beautiful tree. I have learned to... It's my favorite, or one of my favorite trees, because of the way it is. It's an unusual tree. It is said that the palm tree, that every fiber of the tree has some kind of use to humanity today. It is the Syrians enumerated 360 different uses of the palm tree. Its fruit is the daily food of millions. Its sap furnishes an agreeable wine. The fibers of the base of its leaves are woven into ropes and rigging. Its tall stem supplies a valuable timber. Its leaves are manufactured into brushes, mats, bags, couches, and baskets. Its fruitfulness, the perpetual greenness of its foliage, or the height at which the foliage grows as far as possible from earth and as near as possible to heaven. The elasticity of the fiber of the palm and its determined growth upward, it's determined to grow upward even if it's weighed down with weights. Palm branches were used by the Jews as a token of victory and peace. Now I want to look at some of the characteristics of this palm tree. We read this verse, it says, "The righteous
shall flourish like a palm tree. Now, what is that to be? How can we understand this unless that we understand the characteristics of a palm tree? The palm tree can withstand abuse. The heart of the ordinary tree is dead. In an ordinary tree, if you cut the bark all the way in the outside, what happens? Whereas, I think Ernest would know. It dies. Why does that tree die when you remove the bark all the way around in the outside? It is because that's where the water goes, that's where the sap is of the tree. But for the palm tree, it's not that way. And the reason for that is because the strength, the life of the palm tree is in the center. It goes up the center. And so you can try to debark. Well, really, the palm tree doesn't really have a bark on it. But if you would cut all the way around the outside, the palm tree would not die. It will stay. It will stay there. It is alive. So much like our Christian life. The source of our life is from the inside. People can abuse us from the outside. They can do with us what they want. But if our source of strength is from the inside out, we shall not die. We shall live. The heart of the palm tree is alive. It's in the inside. The life of the child of God is within. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, it says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. That's why that the Christian can flourish in time of tribulation. That's why the Christian can live in victory, even though that all odds are against him. That's why, because our life is from within. We're not like other people. We're not like everyone else out there who's being, when opposition comes, they give up and they leave. No, not the righteous. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree can withstand abuse. The palm tree not only survives, but it flourishes in dry places. The palm tree does not just simply grow in the desert, but it flourishes there. And the reason a palm tree can flourish in dry places is because it takes its roots deep down into the earth. And there it brings its moisture to bring it alive and to keep it there. So it is in our Christian life. As we dig into the Word of God, we can flourish in dry places. We can flourish because of God's Word and His truth. Even though there's dryness around, the Christian can flourish. We shall flourish like the palm tree. Many Christians are not flourishing because they're seeking nourishment on the surface, just like other trees. They're seeking nourishment there. They cannot flourish, and they will die. Shallow Christians look to the world for refreshment and come away thirsty. The world will never satisfy. It's an emptiness. It's a dryness there. The child of God will send his tap roots deep into the Word of God. Another interesting thing about the palm tree breaks the bands. Other trees, if you tie a wire around the tree, what happens? It will grow in the tree. And I'm talking with Brother Ernest today, as working with the trees, he talked about so many times that there are metals found inside the tree, because sometimes somebody put a nail there or posted a sign, the nail remained, the tree grew, and inside remained the steel, the metal, but not the palm tree. If you try to take a wire around a palm tree, and as that thing grows, it's going to snap the wire. It will never grow in the tree. So you wouldn't have to worry about metal in a palm tree. It sheds it. It's out. The palm tree breaks the bands as it grows. The child of God can claim and have victory through Christ. when we become born again and we're saved, and we drag along some of our old habits and things that are there, but as we grow, it breaks the bands and those things have to go. We cannot stay with our carnality and continue to be righteous. As those things come into our experience, it breaks our old habits, smoking, drinking, whatever it is, immorality, it has to go. It breaks the bands. We're going to flourish like a palm tree. We do not continue in sin. We thank God for the power of victory. If we're living a righteous life and we're going to flourish like the palm tree, it breaks the bands, those bad and wicked and evil habits. They must go. The palm tree will bend but not break. A couple years ago, we went to Mombasa as a family vacation in Kenya. I was so impressed with all the palm trees down along the near the ocean front. And as we were driving, something that really impressed me was how that these tree climbers who would go way high in the tree to collect the fruit, the coconut that is up there, of the ones that we were acquainted with, they would climb up that tree and it seemed there was no fear. That tree could sway back and forth, but they were just okay. They had the confidence that tree was not going to break. In many storms, wind storms, while there are other trees around it that are going to uproot, the palm tree there is taking the wind and he's bending like this as the wind blows. And when the storm is over, he's up and his leaves are just out. Oh, it's such a beautiful picture. How can that apply to our Christian life? You know, when the storms of life come and hit us, though they're difficult, they cause our head to hang. But if we have or we're righteous in our heart, it's not going to break us. The palm tree does not break. It bends, but it doesn't break. Oh, it's beautiful to think of the flexibility, the elasticity of the palm tree. It will bend, but not break. The older the palm tree, the sweeter the fruit. And I'm told, according to research, that the more beatings that a palm tree gets, the sweeter his fruit becomes. Doesn't that sound a little like the Christian life should be? And they say the older the tree, the sweeter the fruit. The more beatings, the sweeter the fruit. You know, you can take a machete and hit that thing from the outside in every direction. That tree is going to flourish and the fruit becomes sweeter. Oh, brothers and sisters, in our Christian life, if we could just allow our hard times and our hardships and our trials to make us sweeter and better, we will flourish like the palm tree. That's what he's talking about. We shall flourish like the palm tree. Oh, the fruit is sweet in old age. I hope as I get old that I'll just be a sweet old man. That would be my wish, my hope. Do you know, I believe the only way that can happen is if we allow the beatings of life to make us better, make us sweet. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree cannot be grafted. Horticulturalists say that to graft a palm tree is to kill it. The palm tree is very distinctive and unusual. When people try to graft and try to get into the heart of that tree, it will die. Our Christian life and experience, there's so many people today who try to graft in worldliness and things of the world and think they can mix these two together and live. But the palm tree will die when there's another one that is trying to be grafted in. It doesn't work. To graft a Christian into the world is to kill his testimony and his witness to the world. Romans 12 in verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know, that ye may prove and perfect will of God. Thank you. The world cannot be grafted into our righteousness. It just can't work. The palm tree cannot take it. The palm tree will not burn. Many people do not like the palm tree. They don't use it for firewood because it refuses to burn as ordinary wood. The child of God will never burn. He will not suffer the fires of hell. He will never burn. He is a palm tree. In Matthew 25, it talks about the final judgment. And Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And the chaff is going to be burned. But the palm tree, the wheat, is going to be harvested. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The palm tree, it doesn't burn. It refuses to burn as other ordinary wood burns. A group of palm trees forms an oasis. In Exodus 15, verse 22 to 27, it speaks of that. In this account, it speaks about the complaining of the children of Israel in the wilderness about bitter water. Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree and cast it into the water, and the water became sweet. God gave them a promise and said, if you will hear and obey and keep all my statutes, he will not allow the diseases of the Egyptians to come upon them. And then in verse 27, he says that they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. What a beautiful picture of not only one palm tree, but 70 of them that were together, and it gave them comfort and an oasis to dwell in. Beautiful picture of the church. Not only one, but many. And the comfort that it brings as we're together in one fellowship and in one congregation and in one thought and in one mind. The comfort that it brings. Oh, I bless the Lord for that oasis. We are to flourish like the palm tree. And many together, we create a protection and an oasis. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. I believe that it is what God wants for his people, that we assemble ourselves together and we become a comfort and a support group for each other. We're going to prosper and grow and flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree is an evergreen. The evergreen is a symbol of immortality. The child of God will never die, but we have life eternal. It's a beautiful picture of who we are. And this verse, that's what it means. The righteous are going to flourish like the palm tree. We shall flourish. We're going to be able to withstand abuse. We're going to grow even in dry places. We're going to break the bands. Bend but not break. We become sweeter as we age. We can't be grafted. We'll not burn. And we form an oasis. And we are an evergreen, life eternal. My dear brothers and sisters, this evening, This is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a palm tree. Then it says that we shall be like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now the cedar tree is very different in nature than the palm tree. But yet it speaks to us, and as we pull these two concepts together, it gives us a very beautiful picture of who we should be and what kind of a tree God wants us to be. The cedar tree, it's known for its quality and endurance and good smelling. Here it says that we shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. A noble evergreen tree is often mentioned in the scriptures. The cedar tree is often referenced to because of its beauty and of its use. Many of those who worked with trees liked to work with it because it wasn't difficult to work with, and yet it was very beautiful. These trees are remarkably thick and tall. Some among them are from 35 to 40 feet in circumference and 90 feet in height. The cedar tree shoots out branches at 10 or 12 feet from the ground, large and almost horizontal. Its leaves are an inch long, slender and straight, growing in tufts. The tree bears a small cone like that of the pine. It is known for its beauty, and it grows in many parts of Europe and Asia, and its wood is highly prized by engravers. Now, there's a few reasons why that wood is chosen. Isaiah 60, verse 13, it says that the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. Lebanon was known for its cedar trees. And if you study the scriptures, when Solomon's temple was built, they went to Lebanon and they hewn out trees, cedar trees, to come and build the temple and also Solomon's house. It is known for its beauty. It is known for its high value, both in endurance and also in price. It was one of those species that when used, they knew they had endurance. It is used as an emblem of abiding grace and prosperity in the church of God. Now, some of the characteristics of the cedar tree. It's known for its strength. It's known for its good smell. It's known for its beauty. And it found its place in Solomon's temple. It's known for its high quality. It does not easily rot, and it is a repellent to insects. Let's just think about some of those things as we look at this scripture. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, the righteous. Is that you? Is that me this evening? As we think of our life as a righteous person, do we flourish like the palm tree and grow as a cedar in Lebanon? Is the doctrine that we proclaim to the world around us, is it something that they can receive and they can understand? Is it something that is attractive to them? Does our doctrine make sense? Are we able to convey a message of peace and happiness and joy? Does our lives display the peace of God in our hearts to those that we work with? What is our testimony? Is it that of a cedar tree? Does our life, as we interact with others around us, does it repel sin? Does it repel those who want to speak in vain the name of Jesus? What is our life showing? I believe that when we go into places where there is much ungodliness and vain language and swearing, the presence of our life should speak to them, and they want to immediately change their language. Remember some years ago, I walked into a setting where there were people working, and they were using the name of God in vain. And as I walked in, immediately they apologized for the way they talked. Now, they knew my position. They knew I was a Christian. I had talked to them before. But just instantaneously, it changed. That's repellent. I believe we need to be as cedar trees. Grow like cedar trees. The picture we get of a cedar tree, it grows very strong and tall. It's not easily removed. It can withstand a lot of wind. And as I look at that in our Christian experience, I look at the cedar tree as that of our doctrine, that which is founded and rooted in God's word and in his truth. We are to be like the cedar tree, that our doctrine is solid and strong, and we don't just go with the wind of doctrine as it comes through, but that we are founded and grounded in God's word. We find that especially as we witness, and I'm sure that as some of you will be going to Bangladesh in a few days, your doctrine will be challenged. Your faith will be challenged. People are going to be watching and observing your life. We become the only Bible that many people read. Is your doctrine sincere? Is it true? Is it that which looks right? You know, as we were with the Ebis this evening, and they were expressing some of the contacts and some of the challenges that you have faced, and how that by your life and example, they conclude your doctrine. Oh, that blesses my soul. I believe that our lives should speak that kind of a message. It should erase all question and doubt of who we are and what we are willing to stand for. We are to be like the cedar tree, strong, firm, and not easily swayed by the doctrines of men and the influence around us. We need to be consistent, have sound doctrine, not swayed with falsehood or the influences. What kind of a tree are you? Are you a tree for God? We shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. I'm blessed with that first psalm where it says that we are like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But it says the ungodly are not so. A cedar tree? Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 3. This is the verse I was making reference to earlier. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. I believe it's very important that we establish our lives. We are faithful unto the end. The legacy that we leave for those that are following is very important to us. I believe it's important that our doctrine is true, that they have something that they can latch on to. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20, it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall not know them. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. All trees have roots. What for root do I have? What for fruit do I bring? Here Jesus very clearly teaches us that it's by the fruit of our life tells us what the root is, that we the tap source that we have. By your fruit ye shall know them. If you want to be completely rid of the bad tree, you must dig it up by its roots, or it will grow back. Luke 3 and verse 9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What kind of fruit are you bringing? What is the fruit of your life? Sometimes people ask, well, what is my fruit? And what kind of fruit am I producing? Ask your brother or your sister in Christ. We all like to produce good fruit. And I think we know in our hearts what for fruit we are giving or producing. The disciples asked Jesus numerous times how we can know. Jesus taught them very clearly that you must be fruit inspectors. Observe by their fruit. God wants his people to be like good trees that bring forth fruit for him. What kind of a tree am I? I want to leave that with us this evening. Do I stand straight and tall for God? Do I have beauty that shines from my inner being, giving praise to my God? Do I have fruit flowing forth from my life? Does my life repel sin? Does my life repel those small things that want to creep in and destroy? Do I smell good? Or is my life the kind of life that causes others to stay away? I believe it's very important for us to think about those things and to consider what kind of a tree I am. I'm going to close with Proverbs 11, verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Is that your testimony? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you this evening for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your word and the clarity of your word, the examples that are there for us to learn. We pray that you would help our lives to be as the palm tree and as the cedar tree that grows in Lebanon. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, that our witness can penetrate the lives of those around us and bear fruit to the glory of your name. Bless each one this evening that has come out, and we pray that your presence would continue to be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.